Photograph was taken, actually.
It's been 50 years since Kate last heard her brother strum his guitar to music on the radio. At the age of 19, William was killed by the British Army. His death became part of a cover-up by the British government.
That absolutely should never have happened. And even it did. It should have been dealt with a long, long time ago. It shouldn't have been covered up. We'll always miss him. Always miss him.
On January 30th, 1972, British paratroopers opened fire on unarmed civil rights demonstrators. They were protesting against internment without trial and discrimination against Catholics, the minority community who wanted Northern Ireland out of the UK and for unity with the rest of Ireland. Dennis Bradley witnessed it all unfold.
I remember standing here actually in a group of people coming with a body, carrying a body, and running towards that and seeing that a young man was very badly injured.
The victims, seven of them teenagers, were branded terrorists. The soldiers, cleared in a British judicial inquiry viewed by historians as a farce. It took nearly four decades to expose the army cover-up and for the families to receive an apology from the UK Prime Minister David Cameron in 2010. The violence that day led to a surge in recruits to the Provisional IRA, which fought an armed campaign against British troops and police trying to force the UK to abandon its control of Northern Ireland. The conflict, known as the Troubles, continued for more than 30 years of sectarian violence, also involving pro-British loyalist paramilitary organizations. More than 3,500 people died and thousands were injured. An estimated 10,000 bombings were carried out. But none of the 18 former paratroopers who carried out the Bloody Sunday killings has stood trial. The families say they will never give up on the fight for justice and accountability.
We're the people who took up the mantle, and we're the people who exposed the British Army and the British government for what they really did on Bloody Sunday, not their version. And it's very important that we will keep this going. When I'm too old, the next generation of grandchildren will keep this, and whoever, will keep the story alive.
50 years on, the families are still waiting for answers and a day in court. Andrew Chappell, Al Jazeera.
In 2010, an independent inquiry concluded that what happened on Bloody Sunday strengthened the Provisional IRA, increased nationalist resentment and hostility towards the army, and exacerbated the violent conflict of the years that followed. Bloody Sunday was a tragedy for the bereaved and the wounded, and a catastrophe for the people of Northern Ireland, it said. Well, joining us from Dublin is Donica Obercoyne, author and professor at the School of Law of Government at Dublin City University. Good to have you with us. So, it's been 50 years. Have the wounds of Bloody Sunday ever healed?
No, they haven't healed because, as your report outlines, there's never been anybody prosecuted for what happened on Bloody Sunday. You know, it was an unprecedented massacre of 14 people. It was very much in keeping with the momentum of the times. Internment had been introduced only a few months earlier, and it led to a rapid escalation in the conflict. But the fact that nobody was prosecuted has left this wound there in Derry. It's also underlined the feeling that the people who are supposed to be upholding the law are themselves above the law, that they can never be held to account. And many people have asked, you know, would this have been the case had this massacre occurred in London or in Liverpool or in Manchester? Probably not, because Northern Ireland was viewed at the time, certainly, as a colonial emergency more than something happening in part of the United Kingdom, where, you know, the normal rules and regulations that would be in other parts of the United Kingdom would be in process. So, you know, and that's not surprising, I guess, when you think of the fact that most of the British Army leaders at the time in the 1970s had experience in Kenya, in Cyprus, in the Middle East, in Aden, now Yemen. So their attitude towards the people they confronted on Bloody Sunday was very much informed by those kinds of emergencies.
How much hope do you have, given all of that, that there will ever be justice or accountability for those killed and wounded?
Very little. I mean, Boris Johnson or somebody on his behalf tweeted today that, you know, these were tragic events and we should learn lessons from them. But he has been very unclear about what lessons he has learned from them, because what the approach he has taken is that the people who are responsible for Bloody Sunday should be indemnified from any prosecution. He said, in fact, that it would be perverse if people were prosecuted for what happened on Bloody Sunday. What message, he asked, would it send to their brave soldiers in the British Army today? So, you know, this means that despite the Savile inquiry, which, as you say, exonerated those who are protesting, I should, by the way, just clarify, your report said that they were Catholic protesters. They were perhaps Catholic by religion, but they were protesting for civil rights. They were protesting actually for equal rights within the United Kingdom, not for special rights. And the fact that they were not able to achieve them on that occasion, and that they were brutally suppressed and no justice has been offered to the victims in terms of prosecutions of those responsible, I think means that, yes, it's unlikely that this chapter will ever completely close in Derry. That said, I think it's important, I think this will be highlighted today, that Derry is a transformed city since the 1970s. It's now a vibrant and inclusive city, and in no way is it the same city that experienced Bloody Sunday in 1972.
I'm glad we're kind of transitioning to the present and perhaps now to the future, because often in anniversaries you look back to events. How much concern is there that the events, the Troubles, could be reignited given recent developments like Brexit?
Brexit certainly has exacerbated tensions in Northern Ireland, and even though the killings have stopped, the segregation, the divisions in Northern Ireland remain, and people still live in separate areas. They still go to different schools, you know, and that in a way means that Northern Ireland is still not a community, and the underlying divisions that you might say provided ammunition for the Troubles are still there. That said, I mean, Northern Ireland has moved on. An entire generation has grown up without the spectre of violence. But therein lies a challenge as well. Perhaps they don't know the costs associated with taking very fundamentalist positions in politics. And as your question implies, being Brexit has created an absolutist version of sovereignty, which we thought we had put in the past by asking people to take sides on very important constitutional issues. So it's interesting that Jeremy Corbyn, for example, in his speech in Derry last night, said that the British government should provide clarity on the mechanisms by which a border poll, a unity referendum, could be held. And certainly that's something that we wouldn't have heard of 5 years ago or 6 years ago before Brexit. But now it's a topic of conversation in Ireland, much more so than it has ever been before. And that, of course, will also create tensions for some.
Interesting. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on that.